Well, thanks, everybody. I just want to start by just real quick, just to tell you a little bit about this place that you're worshiping in. In 2012, we were kind of forced to leave the building in which we were in, and we came down, and actually, if I back up the story just a little bit, back in about 2001, I really felt like this should be our church home, and a friend of mine and I, we actually came down, laid hands on this building, and said, "Lord, would you give us this building?" That was before we even started our church and before all sorts of things. And then in 2012, when we were informed that we'd be leaving this church, we came back down here. Well, if you're familiar with the bar, if you've spent any money at the bar, when it was here, you know it looks very different now than it did back then. And so when we came in, it had been empty for 6 years. And the ceiling was caved in from when they took out the airplane and there was water. I mean, it was just a mess. And it took us about 7 months of really hard work, you know, 50, 60-hour weeks and lots of hard work to get it done. But I remember before we got occupancy, we snuck in here to have a worship service. Don't tell the city. And so we snuck in, and we had a worship service. And my wife is our worship leader, and she heard very audibly, "Yes, finally my music in this place." And I was just reminded of that today. I'm almost emotional about it, of just listening to all of you sing. I'm used to our people singing, to be able to come and to hear more voices, joining the choir, so to speak, of praises being sang in this place. It's just, it's overwhelming and it's special. And so welcome. We're so excited that you are with us, all right? So enough of that. Let's get going. All right, I'm really excited about being here this morning and taking another step on this amazing journey that we just started together. And we're so pumped as a community to be doing it with you through this book of Proverbs. Now, Proverbs, along with Job and Ecclesiastes, they're referred to as the wisdom books of the Bible. And King Solomon is credited with them because of his great wisdom. And Solomon displays this unbelievable wisdom throughout the scriptures. And it really doesn't matter which realm it is. I mean, he dives into the realm of science and mathematics and business and marriage and justice and just name the topic. And there's just a wealth of unequaled wisdom throughout the scriptures, all accredited to Solomon. And it wasn't that Solomon was like born to super smart parents or anything. Solomon's wisdom, his insight, is due to God working in his life. Now, perhaps you've read the story. Solomon assumes the throne. He's about 20 years old when he assumes the throne from his father, King David, this great King David, right? A warrior, a politician, a man after God's own heart. I mean, he had some big shoes to fill when he takes on the throne. And so we know all of this amazing stuff about David, but we don't know anything about Solomon. We have no idea when he arrives in the scene. He's not really known for anything great. So it shouldn't surprise us then when Solomon is about to enter into this throne and take over that he's feeling a little overwhelmed. He's been given the responsibility, once again, roughly around age 20, of leading a nation, of guiding them into the next step, taking on dad's shoes. And oh, by the way, dad also left him one other job, to build the temple. Not just a temple, like the temple. The temple that God is going to reside in. And we have no idea if Solomon even knows the first thing about construction. We have no idea because he is very silent. And so he finds himself in one heck of a situation. And when we discover this story in 1 Kings chapter 3, Solomon is asleep. And God comes to him in a dream. And God says this to Solomon. Catch this, verse 5. It says, "What do you want? Ask and I will give it to you." In other words, God comes to Solomon and says, "What do you want? I'm going to give you a blank check. You can write whatever you want on it. You just tell me what it is and it is yours." Now, I'm not sure what you would have asked when you were 20, but I don't think I would have asked what Solomon asked for, because he asked for wisdom. I mean, you got to have a lot of wisdom already to realize you don't have enough wisdom, right? And so he asks for wisdom. And it says this, he says in verse 7, he says, "Now, O Lord, my God, you have made me king instead of my father David. But I am like a little child who doesn't know his way around. And here I am in the midst of your own chosen people, a nation so great and numerous they cannot be counted. He says, give me understanding heart, give me that wisdom, so that I can govern your people well and know the difference between right and wrong. For who by himself is able to govern this great people of yours? The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for wisdom. Wow, that's an amazing verse. And I have to ask myself, why in the world would Solomon ask for wisdom out of all of the options that he has? I mean, he could say, God, give us more land, give me a bigger army, right? He could have asked all sorts of things, but he asked for wisdom. And I got, why? Why wisdom? And I think to understand why Solomon is on this quest for wisdom, we need to understand exactly what wisdom is. So this morning, I just want to take our time and just have a very blunt, very honest, very real discussion about what is wisdom. Now, according to Webster's Dictionary, it's a good place to start. Wisdom is the quality of knowledge, experience, and good judgment. But I want to put it a different way. Wisdom is the ability to make good decisions. I think that's something we all need. And I love Paul. He writes this in his letter to the Ephesians. He says, I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom, insight, so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. Now notice how Paul separates wisdom and knowledge in Ephesians, because they are two very different things, separate things. Knowledge is about knowing the answer, right? It's the great fill in the blank. Oh, I know what goes there. It means you're really good at trivia night. Hey, I know the answer to that. That's knowledge. Anyone ever face a situation where you just did not know what to do? Nobody. Okay, it's just my people. This is an interactive group, he told me. All right, yeah, okay, so you got to be a little interactive with me tonight. All right, we've all faced situations where we just didn't know what to do. And in that moment, we didn't know the answer, and so we needed knowledge. In order for me to do the right thing, I have to first know what the right thing is, right? And that's knowledge. That's knowledge. It's important for us to have knowledge, but wisdom is very different. Wisdom is about choosing the right answer. Now, I don't know about you, but how many times have you and I known the right answer but chose not to do it? Anybody in here? Okay, there's my people. All right, I was like, am I the only jacked up person in the room? I was a little concerned there for a minute, right? I mean, let me ask you a different way. Anybody ever make a stupid decision? Okay, there you are. Okay, good. Yeah, stupid decisions, right? And sometimes we make stupid decisions because we simply do not know the answer. But let's be honest, most of the time our stupid decisions aren't because of a lack of information. Our stupid decisions rarely come from that spot of information. Our stupid decisions come from our lack of wisdom. See, we know that it's stupid to call somebody when we're mad, but we do it anyway. We know that it's stupid to lip off to our boss, but sometimes we do it anyway. We know it's stupid to drink too much, but sometimes we do it anyway. We know it's stupid to flirt with that girl or that guy, but we do it anyway. We know it's stupid to waste all of our money on stuff, but we do it anyway. We know it's stupid to smoke cigarettes, but some of us do it anyway. We know it's stupid to help ourselves to that third Big Mac, but some of us do it anyway. Right? We know certain things are stupid, but we still end up doing it anyway. See, knowledge is knowing it's stupid. Wisdom is choosing not to do it because it is stupid. There's a big difference there. And I don't know about you, but I don't think we need more knowledge. We need more wisdom. We're the most informed generation the world has ever seen. We have more information at our disposal than any other generation before us. Billions of people before you did not know what you know. At one time, people thought the world was flat, and now you know better. At one time, people thought the sun rotated around the earth. You know better, right? At one time, people thought you got over a cold by cutting yourself and bleeding. You know better, at least I hope you do. At one time, people thought only birds could fly. You know better. At one time, we thought Pluto was a planet, but now we know it's just Mickey's dog, right? At one time, we thought the Broncos had a good football team. Now you know better. We have gained all sorts. There you people are. You're alive. I was like, oh, all right. We have all gained all sorts of knowledge as the human race, as humanity. All sorts of things about medicine, science, electricity, history. We're the most educated generation the world has ever seen. We have all sorts of knowledge. And then if we don't have the right knowledge, we have a phone in our hand that is way smarter than we are. And all we have to do is ask Siri, and she will give you the information. See, a wise person has the clarity to know what to do and the courage to do it. It's not about knowledge, it's about wisdom. And with every thought, with every word, with every action, you and I are choosing how we are living our lives. And the choices that we make determine the life that we will live. In fact, your current choices are creating your future life. Your life experiences stem greatly from your life choices. The whole of scriptures point to the fact that when you and I make choices based upon God's word, it's not just holy, it's not just smart, it doesn't just lead to a better life, it leads to the best life, and that is wisdom. The whole of scripture also teaches us and points to the truth that when we make decisions based upon our emotions, based upon sin, based upon our selfishness, based upon the wisdom of the world, on, oh, it just felt right, so I did it. It points to the fact that that is foolish. That is dumb. That the destination of those choices end in death and drama and destruction and all sorts of stuff we don't want in our life. And so the Bible calls people who make those kind of decisions based upon those things foolish. I love the way that Jesus puts it in Matthew 7. He says this, anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. Paul says it this way in Romans chapter 1. He says, claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. James puts it this way, don't just listen to God's word, you must do what it says, otherwise you are only fooling yourself. To live your life based upon God's ways and God's word is wisdom. To live your life based on any other standard is foolish. If you read the book of Proverbs, you will see the word fool listed a lot. In fact, the word fool is listed 83 times in the book of Proverbs. I think God's trying to point something out. Let me give you just a few. Proverbs 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, but a fool despises wisdom and discipline. Proverbs 5:23, he will die for the lack of self-control. He will be lost because of his great foolishness. Proverbs 10:8, the wise are glad to be instructed, but a babbling fool falls flat on their face. That's actually hard to say. That's probably not one of those verses you want to memorize. Proverbs 13:16 says, wise people think before they act, fools don't, and even brag about their foolishness. See, we can go on and on and on. It all points to how we live our life and the choices that we make every day. That with your choices, you can either be wise or you can be a fool. I actually looked up the word fool in Webster's dictionary, and it said this, a fool is a person who acts unwise. Have you ever looked up something in the dictionary and thought that wasn't helpful at all? Like, thanks. And I love it when the dictionary uses the word to define the word. You're like, thanks, that was really helpful, right? So sometimes you got to go to the thesaurus, you got to look at the synonyms, right? So here's some synonyms for fool, just to drive home the point. Buffoon, clown, idiot, moron, nitwit, sucker, bonehead, dunce, numbskull, I think my father called me that, lame brain, easy mark, or how about this one, victim. Don't be a victim to the wisdom of this world. See, how do you make the decisions in your life? What process do you use? Do you allow your emotions to make your decisions? Do you allow your pain, your trauma to make your decisions? Do you allow your education and your intelligence, your knowledge to make the decision? I think most of us do. I got this. I'm smart. I can figure this out, right? It's a mathematical equation. I just got to figure out. Do you allow the world's wisdom to make your decision? Well, that's what everybody else is doing, so I'm going to do that. Do you allow anybody else to kind of guide you? Well, this is the wisdom you should do, so you should do that. Okay, I will follow you. Or do you actually turn to God's word and see what he has to say on the matter? Do you prayerfully say, God, what do you want? Do you seek wise counsel from godly people? Or do you just kind of shoot from the hip and see how it goes? One of my favorite sayings that I just absolutely believe is true in the core of who I am is this: spiritual maturity comes as we make decisions based upon our beliefs and convictions, not our emotions and our feelings. Jesus puts it this way in Luke 7. He says, wisdom is shown to be right by the lives of those who follow it. See, here's where the rubber meets the road. I don't think most of us intend to make foolish decisions. I don't think most of us wake up in the morning and say, man, I really want to jack up my life today. I think most of us want to make good decisions. Most of us, I think, want to honor God with our decisions. Most of us want to do that. And we have great intentions. But here's the problem. Intentions don't mean squat. They really don't. They're not worth a sack of beans. It is the decisions that determine our lives, not our intentions. Wisdom is choosing the right answer. Wisdom is doing the right answer. Decisions, not intentions, not your prayers, not your hopes, not your dreams, not your beliefs, not your intellect, not your education, your decisions is what will make your life and define your life either foolish or wise. And the thoughts that you are having, the actions that you are taking in your life right now will determine where your life ends up. The decisions you are making relationally, financially, spiritually, physically, they all have a destination. And that destination is determined by the choice that you are making right now. Every decision has an outcome. Every path has a destination. If you want to live a good life, a God-honoring life, then you have to make wise decisions now, if that's the future you want. You cannot make foolish decisions now and hope and have great intentions that my life is going to be better later. See, sin never leads to holiness. It's impossible. And honestly, it just breaks my heart how many conversations I have with people who cannot seem to make the connection, connect the dots between the choices they are making today and the experiences that they will have tomorrow. Or even the experiences that they're having today, connecting them to the choices that they made before. See, we've all come to believe this popular notion that as long as my intentions are good, as long as my heart is in the right place, whatever that means, as long as I'm doing my best, as long as I'm trying my hardest, it really doesn't matter what path I take. We believe somehow it's all going to just work out and I'm going to end up in a good place. No, doesn't work that way. Today and tomorrow are connected. And so the choices you make today are creating the tomorrow in which you will live. The decisions you make today will influence and inform the life that you will live in the future. Make it wise choices today. Give you the life that you are looking for. Because every decision you make matters. And if you want a good life that comes from following God's wisdom, it doesn't come by following your wisdom. It doesn't come by following the world's wisdom. Those things are simply foolish. If you want to live the life that God has for you, which, by the way, is the best life, then you need to make decisions that lead to that outcome. Following the wisdom of God. It's not just the smart way. It's not just the best way. It's not just his way. It truly is the way to life. Don't be fooled into believing that you can make unholy choices and still live a holy life. Now, if I'm completely honest with you, you will probably already know everything I've said tonight. Or today. I'm used to tonight. So I'm sorry. It's the morning. Caffeine and the Holy Spirit working together here. You probably already have experienced what I've been talking about this morning. See, when I trust my wisdom, when I do it my way, I have been proven to be a fool. And maybe you have your own testimony in that. That I was going to do it my way, and it just turned out so horribly. There was consequences I didn't see. There was consequences I didn't want. See, sinful choices are foolish because God already told us what the outcome would be. If you do this, your outcome will be death and drama and destruction and all of it. However, God also gives us some promises and some principles that if you follow him, he will never let you down. That when you do it his way, it won't go bad. And all I've experienced when I follow God is a better life, a richer life, a more meaningful life. So here's my question for you this morning. Are you making wise decisions or foolish ones? And maybe you're in that spot where you're like, I thought I was making wise ones, but now I'm not so sure. Well, if that's the case, I want to spend the rest of our time just kind of giving you some very practical tools that'll help you make wiser decisions in your life. And my hope is by these principles, it will help create inside of you some practicality to putting wisdom in your life. So the first principle, or what I'll call the ways to wisdom, is when you come into a situation, the very first thing you need to do is you need to ask, okay, in light of my past experiences and my future hopes and dreams, what is the wisest thing I can do in this situation? And don't just ask yourself, you need to be seeking God. You need to be saying to God, I need to ask God. The only way you're going to gain wisdom is do what Solomon did, which is to ask for it. James chapter 1, verse 5 says this, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. Yeah, prayer is this principle that will never let you down. You got to take your questions and your feelings and your concerns and your desires and you got to take them all to God. Okay, God, this is what I'm thinking, this is what I'm feeling, this is what I'm experiencing, and this is what I want. He wants to know what you want. But more than that, right, on top of all, you need to then say, okay, God, I want your will to be done, not mine. As Jesus models for us in the Garden of Gethsemane. See, we need to ask first. Most people like to pray afterwards instead of before. Have you ever done those prayers? Okay, well, God, I made the decision, and I'm hoping it was like following you. And if not, could you kind of like adopt the idea? And could you like bless it anyway? That'd be awesome. Thanks, right? That's most of our prayer lives is we pray after instead of praying before. See, don't pray after you made up your mind. In fact, the best counsel in the world is wasted counsel if your mind is already made up. Second way to wisdom, you need to confirm what you heard. By the way, I think these are in your YouVersion, by the way. You need to confirm what you heard. See, this is where most of us go off the rails. We've been raised with this understanding that if it feels right, just go for it. And our emotions play a huge part of the decisions that we make. Our emotions play a huge part in the thoughts that we have, the words that we speak, the actions that we take. But here's the thing. Satan wants, his desire is to sift you as wheat. And if he can play your emotions like a fiddle, he will play a song with your life that God never intended you to sing. Self-deception is easy when your emotions are running high. Your heart doesn't just lie to you, it is deceitful. So you need to confirm what you believe you heard from God, and you need to confirm it in two ways. You need to confirm it first by his word, and then you need to confirm it through his people. First, his word. Let me tell you, I cannot tell you how many times I've had people go, I got a word from the Lord. Okay, that's awesome, tell me about it. And it totally contradicted the word of God. The word of God will never go against a word of God. They got to go together, right? I wonder sometimes if God sits up in heaven and when people say, well, God said, and he's like, I didn't say that, right? Wonder how many times he's just kind of scratching his head flipping through the Bible. I can't find that in here anywhere. I didn't say that. Paul, did you say that? I didn't say that. They're having this discussion. I don't know where that came from. That's not me, right? So when you're looking to confirm in the word of God, don't go find scriptures that you think back up your point of view. You're asking God for his point of view. Another way that you need to confirm that is by seeking wise counsel. Proverbs 12:15 says, a fool thinks their own way is right, but the wise listens to others. This is why we got to go get godly counsel is so helpful, right? But let me give you a caution on that too. Wisdom only comes by asking the right people. How many times have you been fired up about something, and instead of calling somebody who would speak some truth to you, you called the one person that would rally the rest of the posse and come to your rescue,
right? You're just like, I know who I'm going to call because they agree with me, right? And they're just going to throw logs in the fire, some more gasoline, and we're going to go, right? We don't call people normally who are going to say, dude, you're wrong. Calm down. No, we call people who are going to fire us up. So I want to encourage you, call people who not only know God and love God, but whose life reflects the wisdom of God. Those are the people's counsel that you're looking for. It is foolish to ask a fool for counsel. Ask a wise person. And be picky on who you ask for. See, don't ask a person who just simply knows a lot. Ask a person whose life reveals a lot. Ask people who have a vested interest in you, who says, I want you to succeed. See, it's vital for you and I to understand that your life choices have consequences in other people's lives. And so people who have a vested interest in you, they don't want you to make a bad decision. Not just because they love you, but because your choices also affect theirs. Unwise choices always impact other people. Third way to wisdom, you got to take a gut check. You're like, what? What is that? If it seems too easy, it probably is. I can tell you right now, most of the time that you receive wisdom, it's going to create this feeling inside of you, half of which is like, yeah, that's right. And half of you is like, I don't want to do that. Right? And there's this conflict, this turmoil inside of us of, I know it's the right thing, but man, I do not want to do it. You need to understand that when you receive wisdom, your flesh is going to fight against it because it didn't want to do it. We do not become foolish because we lack the right information. We become foolish because we love the wrong things. You know what we love? We love ourselves. We're selfish people. It comes naturally to us, right? We naturally seek sin. We naturally seek self-preservation. We naturally seek what feels good, what makes us happy. But Jesus was serious when he said this whole dying to self thing. When he's talking about this way is narrow thing, when he's talking about picking up your cross and following him thing, right? He's serious. So being wise doesn't always feel good in the moment. Now, fortunately, when you are constantly and consistently making wise choices, that's when the happiness and the joy and all that stuff comes, right? But it may not feel it in the moment. The fourth way to wisdom, you got to do the wise thing. You got to actually follow the advice. See, asking for wisdom is easy. Listening to it, that might be a little difficult. But doing it, now that is hard. So don't just stop at the answer. You got to apply the answer. Knowing what is right, agreeing with what is right, seeing what is right, that doesn't accomplish anything if you don't choose to do what is right. There's actually a moment where you got to put your money where your mouth is. That moment of that spiritual maturity where you make a decision based upon your beliefs and your convictions, not your emotions and your feelings. I'm going to choose this because that is the wise thing to do. Seeing it, feeling it, agreeing with it is not enough. You have to actually choose it. See, that is our entire spiritual journey here on earth. And sometimes wisdom is absolutely hard and we'd rather run from it than embrace it. And this is where faith comes in. This is where trust comes in. Do I trust my past experiences? Do I trust my own opinion? Do I trust my wisdom? Do I trust my knowledge? Or do I trust God? And do I trust his promises? And do I trust his ways? And do I believe him? And can I follow him? And it all boils down to, who do I trust with my life? Who do I trust in making these decisions? Who do I believe? Because whoever's wisdom you follow will lead you to the life that you are experiencing. You cannot follow God and be a fool, and you cannot be a fool and follow God. James 3 says this, if you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. My friends, when God tells us how to live, he's not trying to be the great killjoy. He's not trying to keep you from some fun. When God tells you his wisdom, he is trying to help you because he loves you. And he's trying to give you and lead you to the best possible life. He says that this is going to lead you to love and to joy and hope and to purpose. He's trying to unleash things inside of you. See, wisdom is not based upon the rules of God. It's based upon the love of God. And God is so madly in love with you. He's like, please do it this way because I love you and I want you to succeed. Please don't do it this way, because that just leads over here and that's horrible. Don't do that. Now, I know as a father, there are times when your children want to like put a fork in an electrical socket and things like that. And as a parent, I'm like, don't do that. You're not going to like that. And sometimes like, they got to do it, right? And we learn the hard way. God's trying to save you from learning the hard way. See, as you read the Proverbs, you will see God many times give you a wise thing and a foolish thing, showing us that there's a very clear line between the two, that wisdom and foolishness are opposite. Wisdom is where you say yes to one thing, which also requires you to say no to something else and to live that life of wisdom. But what feels like sacrifice now is actually an investment in your life later. This is what I want in my life, so I have to make choices that lead me to that. See, wise people see where wisdom wants to take them and then chooses to invest their life in that direction. Wisdom is easy to spot because wisdom is revealed by a person's priorities, what a person finds to be important in their life. Wisdom is revealed by who and what we worship with our lives. Would you please join me in prayer? Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for these people. Father, as we come here, we want to just be honest. And we want to live the life that we choose. and we know that that's foolish. And so, Father, we want to pray that you would help us to make choices every day that align with you. And because of that, we need to do like Solomon did and come before you and admit that we need your wisdom. Choosing the best path begins by submitting to you. When considering all of our options, the place to begin, God, is leaning on you and asking you for your wisdom. God, help us to find your wisdom. Not our experiences, not our insight, not our education, but in your truth. And in those moments, Father, when what we want to do conflicts with what we read in your word, may we choose you. May we lean hard into your revelation rather than our understanding. And when our emotions are in conflict with your word, may we choose you. May I lean on your word and harness my emotions. Because frankly, I'm tired of being a fool. So we echo Solomon's words. We are like little children who don't know their way around. Give us wisdom. Lord, we love you. It's in your name that we pray, and all of God's people said,